So yeah, you're Serbian good?
Very good.
Oh. Point Hodar for three love. Down the tee, Fonseca with game points here. Pushes that long. The game will continue. I think if you're in the box, you just nod, don't you? Say yes, whatever you want.
Whatever you want, boss.
Whatever you want, I'm just going to nod. Oh, dear. Still a little bit lackluster. Serve down the tee. The stretch off the return pushes Fonseca back. He goes mid-court with his forehand. Now Fonseca with his backhand sitting in the middle of the court. These balls deeper from Djokovic on the backhand. Djokovic backhand line. Squash shot back from Fonseca. Djokovic cross court. Fonseca's been pushed out of court. Does the line get found by Djokovic? No, he misses it.
Fonseca.
He misses the lines. Jao Fonseca, as we change things around in the commentary box, and I say thank you very much to Antoine.
Thank you, Gigi.
2-1 on serve in the second. Djokovic by a set to love. And Chris and Eleanor, we have been picking our men's final. Who's going to be in the men's final? Who was yours again?
Tien.
Against who?
Against Djokovic.
And I had Berrettini against Ruud in my Roland Garros 2026 final. So you can both, Eleanor and Chris, pick your finalists.
Well, yeah. I think I'd go for Ogier Aliassime from the top half. I think he's the obvious one from the top half. Bottom half. Oh, do I tip Djokovic this early in the tournament?
I mean, that's a strange noise to make when you're talking about 24-time Grand Slam champion.
Yeah, I know, but he's so short of matches.
Yeah, I agree. There are a lot of question marks about him.
That might benefit him, you know?
Well, I mean, I suppose if he gets to the point where he's in the latter stages, then he won't be short of matches. And that's kind of the interesting situation we have with Djokovic. I mean, to me, if Zverev is fit, we'll see obviously what happens tonight against Alice, against a Frenchman, against the French crowd as well. But if Zverev is fit, I think he comes through from the bottom half.
Well, it's interesting. He comes through to the semi-finals, but what happens if he plays Djokovic in the semis? And don't forget, we've still got Casper Ruud in there. Ruud plays Djokovic in the fourth round. Rublev might yet do something. Who knows?
Well, there are a few in the mix, aren't there, who have yet to make a really big Grand Slam debut. And by that, I mean getting past the quarterfinals. You know, the Rublevs, the Alex Dimonors, Felix Auger-Aliassime is another one.
Yeah.
Gigi was just talking about. I think, and you've picked to go. Do you think he's going to get all the way, or are we just talking semi-finals or final?
Well, I don't know. I mean, once you get to the final, the pressure is totally different. I think semi-final. See, Auger-Aliassime for me is certainly good for a semi, and is he going to freeze? I don't think he'd freeze in a semi. I think he's won too much. To freeze in the semi, but he might freeze in a final. Final, I think, is very different. Interesting hearing Gigi was saying earlier that Djokovic didn't want the night session. Because when he played in the night session on Sunday, he had difficulty sleeping afterwards. So it's interesting that he's happy in the heat of the day. Now, we may only get one more day of heat. Tomorrow's going to be hot, but Sunday is going to be getting cooler, and the whole of next week is going to be a lot cooler, certainly relatively. What's interesting is that, did you see Świątek's press conference? She was asked, I think by a colleague of ours, whether she had requested first match on, because she's had three first matches on. And she froze, almost as if she'd been caught with her hand in the biscuit tin, and sort of said, yes, I did request it.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Well, I mean, if she just said, well, they know I like to know when I'm playing, so they know that they can always put me on first and I won't complain, that would have been a perfectly reasonable answer. But clearly she felt guilty about having been first on, but clearly she likes it.
Well, I think a lot of players like to be first on in normal circumstances, irrespective of the conditions we've had here at Roland Garros, because, as you say, they know when they're playing, they like routine, they know when to eat, they know when to warm up, they know exactly what their start time is, which is, as we know, quite rare in tennis, and it's one of the challenges of tennis, is that you have to wait for the match before you to finish.
Yes, and you can be ready just having eaten and all ready to go on, and then suddenly they go to another set.
Or equally, there's a retirement and you have to rush, and you have to rush on, and you might not have warmed up properly. And so it might be that Świątek actually just likes the structure and routine and certainty of being first on.
That big roar you heard was a smash off the bounce by Fonseca, but Djokovic is at 30-15. Hits a forehand to the forehand of Fonseca. Forehand Djokovic cross court, forehand Fonseca. Djokovic down the backhand wing. Fonseca with his two-hander to the two-hander of Djokovic. Backhand from Fonseca down the line. Djokovic makes good ground to his forehand. Down the line by Fonseca. Djokovic stretches for that backhand. Just gets it back. A drop by Fonseca. Djokovic will get there. Goes down the line. Cut off by Fonseca. Got back by Djokovic. Second volley by Djokovic. Wins the point. And he raises his arm to the crowd and he said, come on, I deserve more cheering than that.
Well, that's the highlights reel taken care of.
That's
1 point. Marvellous stuff. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about Fonseca and how fun he is to watch, but he's also bringing the best out of Djokovic today. That may be to his detriment at the end of the match, but it's bringing a lot of entertainment. And interesting to see Djokovic, as you say, this early on, just trying to get the crowd a little bit more involved, get them on his side.
Yeah.
There's a sense of...
And how you do it is with your play, and that's what he did. The first volley was a great reflex. The second, I think, was a bit of an experience by Fonseca, because Djokovic just knew where that was going. 40-15, points for two all, second set. Djokovic from... down in front of us, commentary box end, forehand return deep to the forehand of Djokovic, backhand from Fonseca. Djokovic runs around his backhand, goes deep to the forehand of Fonseca, forehand from Djokovic, forehand Fonseca off the top of the net, but goes in. Drop shot by Djokovic. Fonseca slips but gets the ball back. Djokovic throws up the lob. That is going to be a clean winner. Well, Fonseca did very well to actually play that ball deep, given that he stumbled on his way to pick up the Djokovic. Was it a drop shot? It was certainly a half drop shot.
I think it was an intended drop shot.
Which was rather deeper than he had hoped.
It was a lovely lob from Djokovic to end the point, though. We're seeing plenty of variety, aren't we, from these two?
Djokovic looks to me like somebody who's enjoying his tennis.
I think he's enjoying this moment. It's probably what he's missed.
Yeah. And he's played so little tennis this year.
So little tennis, but also I think he's probably quite interested and excited to play Fonseca.
Yes.
I think he'll be aware of the challenge, but I think he'll also... know how much buzz there is around this player.
Fonseca serves. Lofted return. Taken out of the air by Fonseca. And that's a clean winner. Yeah, I mean, do you know what I was reminded of when I saw this lineup? I was reminded of the morning of the women's singles final, 1999. Graf against Hingis. I remember coming here at Roland Garros thinking, do you know, we've got something incredibly special here. We've got a battle of intergenerations. Graf, clearly a legend in her own time. Hingis, the new legend. Hingis was 18, Graf was 30. And they played the most amazing match. Here we've got 20-year difference. We don't know how good Fonseca will be, but it would not surprise me if he won a handful of majors and got to number one in the world. So you've probably got, you know, a legend of one generation against a legend of another. And they're playing each other. And Fonseca said in his preparation for this match, he was really excited to play Djokovic because he wanted to have a go at him. He knows there may not be many more opportunities. So this is really special. It's a fantastic match.
Well, it's shades of Pete Sampras taking on a young Roger Federer at Wimbledon.
Yes, at Wimbledon, yes, absolutely. Forehand from Djokovic. It was the only time they ever played that match. Drop shot by Fonseca is into the net. He had Djokovic beaten. That's not good enough if you miss the shot.
Well, there have been many a movie script written around this dynamic, hasn't there, between the youngster and then the sort of wizened
old
master campaigner.
Yeah, but for the first six games of this match, for me, it was master and apprentice.
Totally.
Because Djokovic was superb and Fonseca didn't look like he knew what to do. Since 5-1, first set, it's been absolutely even.
But I think that was fantastic as kind of match management from Djokovic to go out and start very fast, start very well, just impose himself straight away.
Fonseca at 15-30. Backhand from Fonseca deep to the forehand of Djokovic. Forehand Fonseca cross court. Djokovic is there with his forehand. Fonseca has to stretch for the backhand. Backhand Djokovic cross court. Fonseca at full stretch again. Backhand Djokovic up the forehand wing. Again full stretch from Fonseca. Short ball for Djokovic. Goes into the corner. Puts it away. Beautiful play by Djokovic.
And you feel like whatever the result, that actually this could be a formative occasion in the journey of João Fonseca's career, one that he will look back on, win or lose, as an incredible learning experience.
Well, Everyone's been invoking the name of Gustavo Kuerten here. The last Brazilian to win this title, the only male Brazilian to win the title. He did it three times, 97, 2000, 2001. Fonseca, break points against him, serves, forehand return, half volley off the baseline from Fonseca. Djokovic, big forehand winner! And Djokovic breaks to lead 3-2.
Well, and there's a member, or she certainly was part of Fonseca's team, Diana Gabbiani, who worked with Gustavo Kuerten.
Yes, was a communications manager.
Communications and PR manager. And I know that she certainly has been supporting Fonseca and just helping him navigate the journey into being a bit of a superstar, not just in Brazil, but around the world.
Well, I'm also reminded of that semi-final we had here 3 years ago, was it? Djokovic against Alcaraz, which again was a match of the generation, 16 years between the two of them. And Alcaraz, who was so up for it, it actually did his body in at the end of the second set. And yeah, although Djokovic had to go the full distance, well, four sets, third and fourth sets were 6-1, 6-1, because Alcaraz just had cramp, couldn't move.
He had full body cramps, didn't
he? Yes, he did.
Doesn't mess about, does it? If you're going to have cramps, have full body cramps.
Have the full works, yes. Credit to him for playing the whole match. A bit the way Sinner did yesterday. Sinner must have known fairly early on that time was up. Although you never know. Maybe the opponent's not up to...
Well, you and I have seen that many times, where the opponent just gets a bit spooked by the situation, yeah, or, you know, just too nervous to quite close it out. And Sinner was, although he wasn't moving, he was often just teeing off. And Sinner just teeing off is still very good tennis. If he catches it in the right place, it's still...
Which he did in places.
It's still fantastic shot making. But I agree. I think credit to both of them. Sinner for sticking with it and not retiring. But also to Cirundolo for keeping himself together and not becoming distracted by the situation. I also like the fact that he came on for his on-court interview and said, I was lucky.
Yeah, but he handled it so well.
I agree.
You know, he played a mixture of his own tennis and also adapting it slightly for the conditions, playing more drop shots than perhaps he'd normally do.
Well, sometimes you when you're watching players, it can be infuriating because if you know one player is hampered in a particular direction, for example, and their opponent just can't see it.
Absolutely.
Just their brain's too muddled or they've got such a set game plan they can't adapt.
So Djokovic at 3-2. He serves and volleys off the full. Drive volley on his service line. That's because the serve was so good. It got a lofted defensive backhand.
Jody says, Fonseca needs to put the drop shot in the trash and stop playing cat and mouse with Novak at the net. He needs to be focused on making this match physical, extending the rallies, and seeing if he can test Novak's energy levels over a long match.
Djokovic just trying out his ball toss at the moment, which is odd because the sun's fairly far round. It's just come up to 5:15 in the afternoon. Backhand Djokovic to the backhand of Fonseca. Backhand Djokovic down the line is a winner. That's the risk, though, when Fonseca wants to try and get the rallies long. Djokovic has this ability to flatten the ball out with immense accuracy. And you see, that was the area that I wasn't sure whether he would actually be able to reproduce, given how few matches he has. But after a set against Petri Perricard, where he really did look rusty, he got it together.
That's what often happens with Djokovic and also with lots of players who have missed time away from the sport.
Forehand Djokovic, the forehand of Fonseca. Fonseca nets a full stretch. And Djokovic's use of the court is fantastic. 40 love.
You can almost feel Djokovic sort of going through and playing the greatest hits one after the other. First of all, I'll get the return going, then I'll get the drop shot going, then I'll get my movement going.
He does look like he's enjoying it. I mean, you could say, well, doesn't Djokovic always? No, not always. But the juices are flowing.
He certainly wasn't enjoying moments against Petri Perricard.
No, he wasn't. Djokovic serves an ace, holds to love, to lead by 4-2. My one reservation about Djokovic at the moment is these shorts. Why do you wear clay-coloured shorts? I mean, it always looks like there's a yellow torso and two sort of well-tanned legs. And nothing linking the two, because it's...
I rather like his outfit.
Do you?
Yeah.
I like the shirt and the shirt and the socks and the shoes. I just don't go for the shorts.
Because you think he blends in too much to the clay court?
The shorts camouflage with the clay court, yes. As do the ball kids' shirts, I have to say, but I think that might be deliberate. Fonseca, nothing about camouflage about his outfit. He's wearing a sort of purple shirt, which fades out to white at the bottom. White shorts, white socks, white shoes. Forehand from Fonseca to deep to the Djokovic backhand. Djokovic goes long.
He looks as though he was walking around in a white T-shirt and shorts and walked under a giant tin of purple paint.
Which was just being opened in a hot weather at that moment and sprayed at him. Yes, there is something about that. I do like the design on Fonseca's shirt.
It's a little bit tie-dye, isn't it? The way
it is
that
a bit tie-dye.
Fades out towards the bottom of the shirt.
Yeah. I do like it, though. Fonseca serves, back and return is long. I can tell you that Alex Mickelson has got the break back against Rafael Hodar. So they're 3-all, 30-all final set, 4 hours and 4 minutes.
Well, that is a test of young Hodar's resilience.
Because he had five sets in the last one, didn't he?
Yeah, but he's certainly on a learning curve.
Massive learning curve.
But also physically, how will he cope with that if that goes very, very deep? It's already gone quite deep. As you said, he's got some miles in the legs now. Obviously, he's young, but he's also inexperienced.
It was only four sets in the last round. Hodar beating Duckworth in four.
40-0. But it would have been long points against Duckworth.
Yes, absolutely. And a couple of other matches on. Jesper de Jong has taken the first set against the 13th seed, Karen Khachanov. And Elina Svitolina, 5-2 up on Tamara Korpach. That's a comfortable hold for Fonseca. That's to love. But he's still a break back. Djokovic leading 4-3 in the second set.
Rob's asking the questions that matter. I've noticed that Svitolina is wearing short socks. Won't her shoes fill up with red brick dust? Like sort of little trainer liners, I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, they do wear pop socks, don't they? Or are they still called pop socks? Or
I suspect not.
No, is that an old-fashioned term?
I think they're called trainer liners.
Trainer liners.
But, I mean, someone much younger and hipper than us, and let's face it, there will be a lot of you, do message in and tell us where we're going wrong. But certainly very short socks, almost so you can't see them. They're below the line of the shoe.
So they just come up to the lip of the shoe.
I mean, arguably they'd get less dirty because there'd be less dust in the sock.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the fact that they're short socks means that any more dust would go in. I just think it goes on the skin rather than on the socks.
Right, which makes it easier, and also you get less dust in your hotel room or in the locker room when you take your shoes and socks off.
I suspect they'll put their socks straight into the club laundry, tournament laundry, won't they?
I would think so, yes.
Yes, I don't think they get anywhere near the hotel.
Be interesting to know how much laundry
is done here.
Is done here in particular in comparison to the other grandstands, because between the heat and the red brick dust, I'm sure they're going through a lot of packets of laundry detergent.
Absolutely.
So if you just as a side bit of detail, that's what happens here at the grandstands. In the locker room, there will be a laundry attendant, and players are given these kind of nets with a zip on. You put all your...
And they have to have their label on it.
Have to have your label on it.
Otherwise, the laundry attendant won't take it.
Well, because they don't have time to go through 400 pairs of white or slightly orange socks that all look the same. So, and they get handed in, and then the turnaround is incredibly quick. But a lot of laundry happens at Grand Slams.
Indeed, yes. There are some players, though, that won't allow certain items to be washed if they're doing well, which... let's not go too far into that particular subject. Forehand return from Fonseca. Forehand Djokovic. Oh, he's gone long. So just a glimmer of opportunity for Fonseca to get the break back. Hodar has got his break back. He's broken Mickelson to lead 4-3 in the decider.
Mickelson's had quite a lot of treatment, hasn't he? On a bit of a back issue. So we'll, as always, we'll keep across that and everything else that there is going on here today at Roland Garros.
Djokovic serving at love 15. Backhand return is lofted. Djokovic takes it on the full. A good shot from Fonseca. He's made it. He had a chance to tee off on that one. The drive volley from Djokovic was not convincing.
And there's a big, big roar every time Fonseca wins a point. And you can hear now the chants going much more like a football stadium when Fonseca is playing.
Winner of this match will play the 34-year-old Spaniard, Carreño Busta, Pablo Carreño Busta, who came through in four sets early today against Thiago Tirante from Argentina. Djokovic, a love 30, serves out wide, forehand return at full stretch. Djokovic takes a drive volley. A big forehand from Fonseca, but it's netted. Almost a repeat of the previous point. And that's very typical of Djokovic, saying, right, OK, you hit the pass last time, do it again.
Fonseca just snatching a little bit at that one. Maybe a bit impatient to end the point.
Yeah, surely though, once Djokovic has come in behind a drive volley, it's a one shot. You know, you go for broke on that one. You can hear the ball bouncing as Djokovic prepares to serve. Goes down the middle, forehand return. Backhand from Djokovic to the backhand of Fonseca. Djokovic with his two-hander up the middle of the court. Backhand Fonseca. Both players playing up the middle at the moment. Backhand Fonseca to the forehand of Djokovic. Two-hander from Fonseca. Two-hander from Djokovic. Goes back across court. A slice from Fonseca. That goes long. Looking to change the pace. Instead, hit the ball long on what should be a high-percentage shot.
Hold up now.
These are the moments in this match that Fonseca needs to convert, because you can be sure that 9 times out of 10, Djokovic will convert his moments.
Yes, love 30 to 30 all.
Heather wants to know, why wouldn't Djokovic want night matches?
Because he said that he couldn't get to sleep after the one he played on Sunday. And the thing about night matches is that you finish around midnight. Okay, the first ball struck around 8:30. So if it's 3.5 hours, finish at 8:30. Finish at midnight. You've then got to do your on-court interview. You've then got to go into your post-match routine, which will involve maybe an ice bath, massage. You've then got to do your media obligations. And even if you work to rule, that's still half an hour. And he's not working to rule. So he wouldn't get back to his hotel till at least 3 a.m.
And his post-match routine, you usually have to wait a good hour for Djokovic to come to media.
Yes, you do.
And when you're 39, your post-match cool-down and stretching and recovery is as long as it is very long. And then when it's been warm, it's longer still.
Yeah. Djokovic netted a forehand behind his serve. So here is a break-back point for João Fonseca. Djokovic was annoyed with that. You may have heard him scream. He's ready to serve, but the crowd's still shouting out, as is his wont. Djokovic will move to the back of the court. He's basically saying to the crowd, if you're going to keep shouting out, you won't get any tennis. The umpire stopping the shot clock. He's put it on now. It's got down to 0, but Djokovic is now serving. Down the centre. Forehand return is lofted. What will Djokovic do? Let's it bounce. He should put this away. He does. And Djokovic is doing a bit of impromptu semaphore to his box. There's an awful lot of arm movements there.
Yeah, it's quite hard to decipher what it was he was trying to say.
Exactly. I hope his box understood. I suspect they're just looking at themselves thinking, oh, here he goes again. Always remember Goran Ivanišević's face when Djokovic won here. Was it his last title that he won here? He said, I'd like to thank my team. Only you know how difficult I can be. And the camera caught even his face saying, yes, absolutely. Djokovic serves into the net. Second serve. Oh, no, it's a while, because Fonseca was just moving forward now. Fonseca is much closer to the baseline for the second serve. Interesting placement. He's only a metre behind the baseline. He'll probably shuffle forward. Yes, he takes that return to serve just on the baseline. Djokovic with a forehand. Backhand Fonseca. Forehand Djokovic. Both of them up the middle of the court. More of an angle from Fonseca. Now Fonseca runs around his backhand but goes long. And he's annoyed with himself. Hits the loose ball away in frustration.
Antoine made the excellent point earlier that Djokovic's serve is very, very underrated.
Yes.
I mean,
because it seems soft, but it's not.
And some of that is also because everything that he does is so extraordinarily good, with the possible exception of his smash, his overhead. But I think we just, it's not that we don't rate his serve, it's just it doesn't get talked about enough because there are so many other things that he does so well.
Well, that was the same with Federer's speed. No one really rated Federer for his speed around the court, but it was phenomenal. Back and return is long, and that roar is from Djokovic, who holds serve, having saved a break point.
So important for Djokovic that he keeps his foot to the pedal here, doesn't allow Fonseca and doesn't allow the crowd to get back into it. Because Fonseca, you can imagine, he's the sort of player that will thrive on momentum, and especially with so much support.
Fonseca then serving to stay in the second set. He's lost the first set 6-4. He's 3-5 in the second. At the President's Box end, the whole court surface still in sunshine. Forehand return from Djokovic, backhand slice from Fonseca, sits up for Djokovic to go down the line. And that's another underestimated part of Djokovic's game. He prepared for that ball in such a way that he could hit it into out, or he could hit it hooked down the line. And only at the very last minute did he decide, but his positioning was right for both.
Really hard to read as an opponent.
Incredibly hard to read. Most of the time, just from the position of the feet, you can tell. Fonseca serves, backhand return, backhand Fonseca, cross-court winner.
Pretty much full here today.
Yes.
Court Philippe Chatrier. Conditions are still very hot. There's a little bit more cloud cover than there has been, but that's actually just upping the humidity, really.
15-all, Fonseca serves. Backhand return is too long from Djokovic.
Djokovic unhappy with that one. Sort of flails his arms as if to say, I threw that one away.
...30-15 on the Brazilian serve. Serves into the backhand of Djokovic. Djokovic can't get that back. That was a good serve. 187 kilometres, but flat out wide. Nothing wrong with a flat serve if you get a decent amount of pace behind it. If you're not getting the pace, then the flat serve is asking to be hit back. Fonseca, backhand return from Djokovic is long, and Fonseca holds to 15. But in a minute, will be Djokovic serving for a 2-0 lead.
Jody wants to know, how many seeds have we lost this year in both men's and women's draws?
I think it'd be easier, Jody, if we could say how many seeds are left.
Is this a record? Seems like we've lost more this year than I can remember in years past.
Well, if you're talking about records, you have to limit it to the last 26 years. Because up to, well, in the year 2000 was when they got 32 seeds in the men's and women's singles. Prior to that, it was 16. I can tell you that Rafael Hodar, the 19-year-old Spaniard, has won. What a breakout tournament this is for him. He's the 27th seed. He's won in 4 hours and 16 minutes, beating Alex Mickelson 7-6, 6-7, 4-6, 6-3, 6-3.
That is very, very impressive. He had that run in Madrid, but to come here and back it up in the way that he has been, and as you say, to come through those two long matches in these conditions, because usually young players take a while to learn how to play in conditions like this, to build up that match toughness and that resilience and that conditioning.
Well, we're guaranteed a Spaniard in the quarterfinals because he will play Carreño Busta.
Carreño Busta is somebody who's been a semi-finalist here before, not for a very long time.
Yes, he's been a semi-finalist at two of the majors, hasn't he?
I think
the US Open as well.
Yeah.
Yes, because he beat Chapovalov in the semis, in the quarters there, so
I mean, he very much counts as something of a veteran now, but
well, except he's 34, which is 5 years younger than Djokovic.
Well, he's a baby. He's a rookie.
As you know, the Carreño Busta's claim to fame in the context of Djokovic, he was the guy playing Djokovic when Djokovic was defaulted at the US Open in 2020.
Which was in the semi-final?
Fourth round,
thank you.
Yes, when Djokovic was the red-hot favourite for the tournament. Alina Svitolina has taken the first set against Tamara Korpach. Right, Djokovic serving for a 2-sets-to-love lead. He serves, backhand return, forehand from Djokovic to the... Oh, it's long from Djokovic. How he started his last service game.
Well, Jody, in answer to your question, we haven't had time to sit down and count them all up.
No.
I can tell you that, obviously, when you get to the third round, you lose seeds anyway because
you have
seeds 16 to 32 as well.
If no seeds go out in the first two rounds, then it's seed against seed in the third round.
So, for example, Maria Buzkova lost today to Mira Andreeva, but they were both seeded.
Yes, they were both projected to play each other in the third round.
But Jill Teichmann did beat an injured Karolina Muchova earlier today.
Former finalist here. Djokovic at love 15. A lot of balls. A lot of ball bouncing. Serves the forehand of Fonseca. Fonseca goes long. That is a loose ball off a second serve. Again, that's just the lack of experience from Fonseca.
It's those little moments.
Little moments, yeah. Antoine made a very good point earlier. He's playing some great tennis as Fonseca, but he's not stringing it together over large numbers of points, and therefore he's forever letting Djokovic back in.
I wonder if he's a player who will take time to learn how to win matches when he isn't playing that well.
That may be the case, yes. Because, you know, all these players who we see on the tour, they're all superb ball strikers. But it's actually whether you can manage a match. Djokovic serves, backhand return. Djokovic flattens out the forehand. Fonseca at full stretch. Djokovic will take this on the bounce, goes cross court. Fonseca's read it. Djokovic with a volley. Fonseca will get that back, but into the net.
Well, and he's playing someone in Djokovic who manages matches better than almost anyone on the planet.
Hard to guess.
Yes, I mean, the reason Djokovic is so good at the best of five sets is he knows exactly when to take breaks and when to really up the level. That's why you see patches in matches that Djokovic plays and you think, actually, what's impressive about this guy? But then when it comes to the really critical points, he picks up his level.
He can turn things around so quickly, can't he?
Yes. Hour and a half played. Djokovic 2 points away from the second set. He serves. Oh, he's hoping that was an ace, but it was just the wrong side of the centre line. Second serve. From the three times former champion. Seems strange to think he's only won three here, but then he has won, 10 in Australia. 7 at Wimbledon. Backhand return. Backhand from Djokovic. Backhand Fonseca. Djokovic with a forehand driving Fonseca wide to his forehand. Backhand Djokovic making Fonseca run to his backhand side. Backhand Djokovic cross courts. Fonseca slices. Djokovic runs around his backhand. Goes down the forehand wing. Cross court by Fonseca. Djokovic has read it. Pushes it down the line. Drop shot by Fonseca. Djokovic is there. Goes cross court with a winner. That is unbelievable defence from Djokovic. And again he's looking up to the crowd saying, come on. Appreciate that. And actually, that was brilliant from Djokovic all the way through because he left a massive gap on his forehand side and still had the reach to get across and push it back down the line.
Well, he anticipated, but also the shot that Fonseca hit would not come back against the vast, vast majority of players.
Yes.
You probably heard the noise he made when he expelled the air when he hit the shot. It hit a very, very, very hard ground stroke and it just got back and also got back into an awkward place.
Exactly. Djokovic, a full stretch, managed to push it into the service box. Two set points for Djokovic for a 2-sets-to-love lead. He serves out wide. Forehand return is lofted. Djokovic comes in, will take this on the full. Wrong foot, Fonseca. And Djokovic clenches his fist, waves it to the crowd. Hour and 32. Two outstanding sets from Djokovic. 6-4, 6-4. He has a foot in the fourth round. Well, I have to say, I wasn't sure that we'd ever see Djokovic at this level again.
It's been so unpredictable with him.
Yeah.
But then you remember that he, you know, it's not as if he went out first round of the Australian Open.
No.
It's just because he's
finally beat Sinner in the semis.
He's kind of doing a reverse Sinner in some ways. And Sinner's winning all the matches at Masters events. And Djokovic is not playing them, partly through injury and partly through, you know, there's a sense
not
of
sure he wants to
being
anymore.
There, done that.
Yeah. Also, I think he knows that if he's going to win a major and he's desperate for one more, He needs to make sure he is... Well, he has that balance of freshness and match toughness. And I thought he got the balance wrong here. I thought he might well be fresh, but he hasn't played enough matches. But maybe he was fortunate to have the draw he did of Mpechi Perigar and Royer in the first two rounds, which no disrespect to those two, but it gave him a chance.
Yes, and I mean, we don't really know what's going on with Djokovic's body. We don't know if there's a, you know, if there's an actual injury or if it's just fatigue or if it's a series of niggles. We do know over the last two seasons what he's had to deal with is rather than, you know, big injuries where he's done an Achilles or he's done his ACL, it's been bits and pieces, hasn't it? Tight hamstrings and sore shoulders and things that are enough to put him off his stride and enough to keep him off the court, but are niggles, really.
Since he's 6 years old, he's played this game every day of his life. I mean, he's 39, he's bound to have some niggles. No player on the tour, whatever their age, is without niggles. You're always managing something. What interests me, though, is that I thought he came here for three or four matches because Wimbledon would be the one that he really had a chance at. Now, whether his attitude has changed, I don't know. But with Alcaraz injured, and he'll be injured for Wimbledon as well, Sinner now out. The two people who've stood in his way are out.
I mean, it may not have been as calculated as that. He might just have thought, well, I'll see how far I get because I just do not know how my body's going to cope.
Yes, that's also possible.
And as it happens, it's coped very, very well so far. But as you said, he's also played... In Mpechi Perigar, the points were not particularly long.
No.
So he hasn't played long, grueling matches.
No, but when you think of the... Was it the 11th game of the first set? Well, five games all, and Djokovic was cruising, and then he made a couple of errors, including one backhand volley that he would never have missed. And you look and you say, oh, this guy's rusty. And he lost the set. But he won in four.
It's all very impressive from Djokovic. Have they both left the court?
Yes, they have. They have both left the court. So we'll come to a couple of your messages in a minute, but I'll just give you the first set of the Svitolina-Korpach match, 6-2 to Svitolina. But Korpach has a break point early in the second. Korpach, you may be aware, was involved in a very slight sort of altercation with... was it Wang in the last round? Wang thought she hit a ball that hit the baseline. It was called long. Korpach ringed two marks. It's one of these two. But they were both beyond the baseline. Wang then went round the net, had a look, which, of course, is what Martina Hingis did in that tempestuous final of 1999 here, which instantly earned her a warning for unsportsmanlike conduct, which is correct. And... Korpach refused to shake her hand at the net afterwards.
Am I right in thinking that the umpire had already actually come down and checked
the
mark?
Yes, correct.
So not only defying her opponent's indication, but also the umpire.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes a little bit of red mist descends, doesn't it, on players? And
it's unlikely there, because there apparently was no history between those two.
No, and Wang Xingyu is not necessarily known as somebody who's going to be particularly fiery on court.
No, exactly.
But these things happen. So hot weather makes people grumpy, doesn't it?
I mean, I was talking to a couple of German journalists about this, and they use this wonderful phrase, which is a translation from the German. They say that Korpach is a plate-washing story. Do you know what a plate-washing story is?
No, but I'm interested.
It's a translation of a German... metaphor that says from plate washer to millionaire. It's basically rags to riches, but I like the idea of the plate washer. And apparently the family have travelled in order for her to come up through the rankings. The family have travelled in a not quite a camper van, but they've taken tents to places. They've stayed in the cheapest of bed and breakfast just so that she can have a chance. And here she is playing in the third round of Roland Garros and has a break second set against the seventh seed, Elena Svitolina. So, you know, at some level, you have to accept that for someone to come through there, they will be feisty. And therefore, she may well have said, I'm going to make my point here by not shaking her opponent's hand at the net.
Yes, it's a funny thing, the handshake, isn't it? People get very aerated about it, very invested in it. And certainly on social media, there's if somebody doesn't shake the umpire's hand, it becomes something that is endlessly discussed.
The umpires, I understand it a bit more. The opponent, I think that is a main gesture. I mean, the umpire can be thought of as a bit like the school teacher, where, you know, it's not a member of my team. Whereas all the players have a certain solidarity. It takes a lot for a player not to shake the opponent's hand.
Yes, yes, indeed. So Deborah says, as of yesterday, my count of seeds lost was 16 men. Deborah says she might be off by one, and 13 women.
Okay, so we've still got more than half left.
That's a yes. We certainly do.
There's 32 in each.
Yeah.
And I mean, as of yesterday is correct, because as you rightly pointed out, Eleanor, as of today, seeds play seeds.
Yes.
There's a match coming up on Simon Mathieu. Alex Dimino, who's the 8th seed, playing Jakub Menchik, the 26th seed, who, they were seeded to meet each other.
So we had also some seeds winning today in Andrei Rublev, who won in straight sets. Iga Świątek, as Chris mentioned earlier, threw against her compatriot Magda Linette, 6-4, 6-4. Marta Kostyuk, the 15th seed, she's also through. Andreeva, we've talked about. Mukova out, and Hodar. I'm quite intrigued by the Menchik-Dimonor match.
We're intrigued to know how much gas Menchik has in the tank.
Well, and against Dimonor, who's always got plenty of gas in the tank.
Indeed.
And he's a great athlete.
So Menchik had that five-setter where he was offered a wheelchair. He didn't take it, but the moment he was out of public view, he did. And Dimonor had a walkover. Alexander Blocks pulled out before his second round match against the 8th seed. First point of the third set. Djokovic hits a forehand down the line, misses it. One tiny little gesture, which you may say is not important, but I actually think Djokovic is sending a signal here. He's not wearing his cap.
Yes, he's taken it off, hasn't he?
He played in a cap for the first two sets, and I wonder whether that's his way of saying to Fonseca, right, the heat of the day has gone out, you've missed your chance. Fonseca serving. Back and return is lofted by Djokovic. Forehand from Fonseca. Good angle from Fonseca. Djokovic throws up a high ball. Where will that land? It's just inside the baseline. Smash off the bounce by Fonseca, which goes 4 metres beyond the baseline of Djokovic. Maybe even five.
And if he was a golfer, he would have shouted four.
Indeed. If he was a golfer, he'd be quite pleased with that.
Well, it was very straight. Just
there was a match at Wimbledon many, many years ago where a British player called Buster Mottram served. And the ball, return was long from Djokovic, and the ball went so far long that it hit the back fence, or the back drape, before it hit the ground. And the commentator at the time for television, Dan Maskell, sort of had one of his lovely little lines, dare one say that was a miss it. And so I've told that story for years on the basis of, oh, maybe it was a mishit. But somebody told me recently that there was somebody in the front row of the Royal Box that Buster Mottram was not happy with. It was quite deliberate. But he missed. It was just a little too low.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
I've no idea if that's true or not, but I love the idea that he was a somewhat eccentric character. Still is, actually. He's still alive. Buster Mottram. Some quite extreme views on certain things, and it would not surprise me if there was somebody he wasn't particularly amused at and fired a shot very close to them. Backhand from Djokovic down the line. Forehand from Fonseca is long, and Djokovic is he's just looking imperious at the moment. There's this way of moving Fonseca to look like he's playing a desperate shot, in the way that Fonseca is not doing very much with Djokovic. Fonseca serves, back and return. Long. Not by much. Djokovic just throws his head back as if to say, what a waste. Again, he's just gesturing to his team. It's a lower level intensity of gesturing.
He's sort of chuntering away, isn't he? But it's interesting because he's actually playing very, very well. He's two sets up and he's very much in command in this match. And is that a message to Fonseca as well, of saying, Well, I'm now thinking about how I can become more perfect.
It might well be, yes, exactly.
I mean, it also could be entirely subconscious. We can always assume that people are playing 12-dimensional chess when actually he's just...
They're playing tiddlywinks.
Quite. As always, he's keeping the ball kids busy.
Yes.
Is Djokovic, taking balls from absolutely everybody he can, comparing them all. And now into his customary bouncing.
Djokovic serving down the centre. Backhand return is lofted. Djokovic coming in, taking that on the bounce. Forehand from Fonseca has gone wide. Djokovic had a play on that, but left it. Quite right to do so. What interests me is the amount of high looping returns of serve that Fonseca is hitting, because Djokovic is comfortable with them.
Do you think that's deliberate, or do you think he's slightly struggling to read the Djokovic serve?
It feels to me like a game plan that's not working and he's not quite sure what to do. Djokovic serves into the net. Second serve. Hear the ball being bounced. Normally there's a lot of bounces when it's a really big point. I wouldn't say this is a really big point at this stage. Backhand Djokovic up the middle of the court. Backhand Fonseca. Backhand Djokovic a full stretch. He lofts that one. It'll be flattened out by Fonseca and put away nicely.
Jazza.
A reminder that you can reach us on the X platform at radio_RG. You can email us, frenchopenradio@fft.fr. Interesting question that Gigi was asking earlier, which is, OK, now Sinner's gone out. We've lost, as we were saying, probably half the seeds.
Who's going to get to the men's singles final?
Who is going to come through the bottom half and the top half of the men's draw now?
Djokovic hits a drive volley, and that's again too good for Fonseca. I think he's got to start teeing off on some of these returns, Fonseca.
But he's not playing like Fonseca, is he? He's quite subdued.
I think he should be stepping in a little bit. He's, again, 4 metres behind the baseline for this serve of Djokovic, which means that Djokovic has the angle, which narrows what Fonseca can do with the return. So Djokovic serves down the middle. It's lofted. Djokovic waits for this one and takes it to, on the forehand. Now a half volley from Djokovic off his baseline. Now Djokovic with a backhand cross court. Backhand Fonseca. Backhand Djokovic up the middle. Forehand Fonseca is a clean win up. Djokovic left a big gap. And this time Fonseca found it. But he found it with a cleanly struck forehand.
We need a little bit more of that. He needs to let loose, I think, at this point. Just do what Fonseca does best. And the crowd will then get involved, as you hear them getting involved on the basis of one shot. Imagine the noise that we'll hear on court Philippe Chatrier if Fonseca can string a series of good points together.
30-all on the Djokovic serve. Fonseca again, 4 metres behind the baseline. Djokovic serves down the middle. Fonseca at full stretch on the backhand, gets good depth. Djokovic goes to the backhand. Now Djokovic with the backhand up the forehand wing. Fonseca slices this one. Djokovic has come to the net and plays a lovely angled volley.
That was balletic, wasn't it?
It was balletic.
In the way that Djokovic moved.
And you and I are old enough to remember Djokovic in the early part of his career. His volleys are just so much better now than they were then.
But his movement is so much more graceful.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's incredibly effective, but that was also an act of grace.
It didn't need to be that fine, but it was just beautiful. Djokovic of 40-30. Again, there are lots of ball bouncing, and now he's ready to serve. And he serves in volleys, but he's passed. That was actually not the best serve to come in on, because it was generally a very slow one. It was almost the second serve. 156 kilometres, kicked. So Fonseca could see him coming in and therefore just aimed it down the line.
And I think Djokovic knows that, because as soon as that ball whizzed past him, he was sighing and sort of dismissing it with his hand.
Djokovic at deuce. A serves, backhand return, forehand from Djokovic into out is a clean winner. Again, because Fonseca is so far back, He's getting nothing on these returns.
Djokovic.
Elena, I've spotted something.
Go on.
You might remember one of these. It's a cloud.
Good heavens.
Oh, the sun's gone.
I can see several clouds.
Yeah, so can I.
There certainly was a bit more cloud cover when I was walking in earlier.
Yeah.
But as I say, I think that the downside of that's going to make it feel a little bit more humid.
Yes.
And I think tomorrow we're expecting a cloudy day, but still very warm.
Stefan's just moved the air conditioning unit a bit closer to us, and that feels wonderful. Oh, it's great. Yes, thank you, Stefan.
Now, if you could fix the other air conditioner, which really excitingly and tantalisingly worked for about 30 seconds last night during the night session.
Oh, and that masseur who gives us shoulder massages during the
Only for the Empress.
Oh, sorry.
Not for the hoi polloi.
Not for us, no. Not for the troops. Djokovic is double faulted, which is pretty rare. Means that this has become a bit of a critical game. Not so much for Djokovic, but certainly for Fonseca. Chances here for the Brazilian.
At some point, he needs to get a toe hold.
He does. Djokovic serves. Back and return. That was a good deep return from Fonseca. Now he plays a forehand cross court onto the baseline. Djokovic is there. Backhand Fonseca. Djokovic gets a bracket to that and doesn't quite get it back. That was really good forcing play by Fonseca.
He's just been a little bit passive in this match so far. And that's, you know, credit to Djokovic for that, lots of ways.
Except for the three games when he went from 1-5 to 4-5 in the first set. Then he was active.
He was active there, but when he goes through, that's when he's at his best. He almost is getting drawn into playing the way Djokovic wants to play and becoming a bit of a pawn in Djokovic's gameplay.
Merci.
Break point for João Fonseca. He has had one break in this match. That was in the first set, but he was 5-2 down at the time. Djokovic serving down the centre, just too long.
Ne manifestez pas pendant le service, s'il vous plaît, merci.
Yeah, Djokovic shouting out in French, please do not shout out. Silence, s'il vous plaît, is what he said. Now, there'll be a lot of bounces before this ball, before this is served. Second serve from Djokovic. Down the centre, forehand return, backhand from Djokovic at the middle of the court, forehand Fonseca, backhand Djokovic. Oh, it's a miss hit, but it goes over. Backhand from Fonseca, Djokovic up the line, misses.
Fonseca.
Well, let the crowd tell the story there.
It's always a mystery as to how nobody can foresee the order of play. It comes out at about, 3 o'clock the day before.
Yeah.
And yet when Fonseca plays, whatever court he's on, even if it's ticketed like this, there are still lots and lots of Brazilian fans for him. And they seem to almost be, you know, sitting in groups. It's amazing. Their resourcefulness in sourcing tickets or predicting where Fonseca's going to play is pretty remarkable.
That's a lovely forehand from Fonseca. He hit the serve out wide to the forehand and got a deep return.
15-0.
You're suggesting that there's some sort of networks that as soon as his court is clear, his supporters go and sort of say, have you got a ticket for that? I'll give you for it.
Possibly, yeah. I'm marvelling, I mean, really, at the resourcefulness.
How does it happen? Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Yes.
Because this is really the hottest ticket in town. Literally and figuratively this week.
Back in return from Djokovic, forehand from Fonseca is a clean winner. Really using the serve out wide well on the first 2 points of this game.
I mean, then of course there'll be some people who think, I'm going to watch Fonseca, I'll dig out my Brazilian T-shirt,
yes,
my Brazil football 1970 replica shirt, and wear that.
That would be a very good shirt to use. 1970, Brazil were outstanding. Arguably the best ever Brazilian team. Pelé, Jairzinho, Gerson, Rivelino, Carlos Alberto. Back in return from Djokovic. Drops just inside the baseline. Forehand from Fonseca. Lovely half volley from Djokovic, and that's too good for Fonseca. Just a serving notice from Djokovic that while this may be a good period of play for Fonseca, Djokovic hasn't gone away.
I
give you some scores from other courts at the end of this game. Fonseca at 30-15 serves out wide. Djokovic down the line and hits the umpire's chair. Now, sitting in the umpire's chair is Arno Gabas, who once took one on the side of his face from Denis Shapovalov. And it was hit in anger. It was instant disqualification for young Denis, and he was very young in those days. And but Gabas had to get his eye checked out. There was no damage done. But I wouldn't be surprised if he was a little nervous when a backhand from Djokovic comes and goes that close to his chair.
Yes, I mean, we should make clear it wasn't his in anger. He wasn't lashing out. It was just in the course of play.
That's a very good return of a second serve from Djokovic. And Fonseca can only put that ball into the net. 40-30. Fonseca from the president's box end. It's a milky sunshine now. Backhand return for Fonseca was long. It was long, but it was because the return from Djokovic was so crisply struck and landed, about 10 centimetres inside the Fonseca baseline? And when you've just served, that's when you're a bit vulnerable, because the recovery from the serve is a little harder than from any other shot.
For you, who is the better returner of all time, if you like, between Djokovic and Andre Agassi?
Are you not throwing Connors into that mix?
I can throw Connors into that mix.
Because you see, the problem with Connors is that he played with that racket which had such a tiny sweet spot, and yet he had the most brilliant return of serve. And I can't help feeling that if Connors had played 20 years later, he would have had the same return as Agassi.
But he would have been playing against people who serve a lot faster.
That's also true, yes. Forehand from Djokovic to be taken on the full by Fonseca. Down the line by Djokovic, cut off by Fonseca. Djokovic throws up the lob, backhand into the net from Fonseca. And it's break back point. Again, Djokovic's retrieving was phenomenal then. I would probably have to put Djokovic ahead on returns. And I think, given that he's still doing it at 39, you have to say at least part of it is the eyes. The way he sees the ball, he must be... Something about when the opponent's serving, that you are ready for the return almost before the ball's left the racket. So he must have a read on the opponent's serve that just means he's in such a good position, because his timing on the returns is phenomenal. Break point Djokovic. Fonseca serves. Backhand return deep to the forehand of Fonseca. Djokovic throws up a lob. That was a full stretch. Fonseca goes back. Lands just inside his baseline. Forehand Fonseca. A soft one. Backhand Djokovic cross court. Backhand Fonseca. Backhand from Djokovic. Backhand Fonseca cross court. Djokovic is there up the line. Pushed back by Fonseca. Djokovic will come into the net and nets it. And he's bent over double, Djokovic, not an injury. He's just so frustrated with himself. He worked that point so well. And then when he weathered the storm, he was in the ascendancy. He put his approach shot into the net on the forehand.
Well, and he's grimacing again. Not in pain, we think, but in irritation, really.
Oh, I'd be irritated at that. He'd done so much work. Fonseca serves, backhand return. Forehand from Fonseca, Djokovic has read it. Low volley from Fonseca is long. Again, brilliant from Djokovic. It's the anticipation of knowing where that shot was going. And then when it was struck at such a rate of knocks, Djokovic is able to drop it at Fonseca's feet. And that was off a serve of 216 kilometres.
Just reads the play so well, does Djokovic. He's puffing out his cheeks a little bit, but not... anything to be too concerned about as yet?
No, we're still under 2 hours for this match. We're on the third game of the third set. Break back point for Djokovic. Fonseca serves. For us, a good serve. Into the body. Djokovic couldn't get his body out of the way of it. And he got his racket to it. It was just to block it.
Djokovic... speaking again to his box, indicating that he wants something to come forward, whether he feels he should be moving forward more.
It's the sixth person in his box at the moment. I recognise a couple of them. Backhand return from Djokovic, forehand from Fonseca. Djokovic cross court, forehand pushed back by Fonseca. Short ball for Djokovic to attack. Fonseca throws up the lob. Djokovic will smash. And it's long. were saying, if there's one weakness in the Djokovic game, it's the overhead. He's generally got rounded over the years by not hitting his smash particularly strong. He didn't hit that one particularly strongly, but it did go long.
Yes, he was almost trying to be too careful there. Going back to that return of serve conversation, I would say that